First Peter chapter 4. I appreciate those testimonies. Amen. I agree with Brother Asquith. You never tell a man that he's saved. Amen. If the Holy Ghost ain't going to tell him, I ain't going to give him false assurance.
Amen.
A friend of mine said that 1, 2, 3, repeat after me is the Baptist rosary, and I've been using that ever since. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Call your attention to verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner, an ungodly, appear? Father, we love you. We ask, Lord, that your divinest blessings this morning. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the preaching last night. Help Brother Church now, right now, as he tries to get things sorted out. Father, we just ask you to save those crooks, whoever took his wallet, Lord, save them, wash them in the blood. And Father, if there's people here that's lost, Brother McVeigh seemed to say there's lost people here last night, and through the testimonies this morning, there's maybe some church folks struggling with their eternal salvation and where they're going to spend eternity. So God, maybe you can use this time this morning to be able to rescue a sinner in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's a sinner go to appear? Where's the ungodly go to appear if they obey not the gospel of God? Where are they going? Where are they going? Amen. They're going to hell. Amen. You know what a lot of people don't want to preach on anymore? They don't want to preach on hell. Amen. There's a literal burning lake of fire under our feet right now where lost people die and they go. You know what we need? We need judgment in the house of God. If you take your last breath and you ain't born again, you will split the flames of hell wide open. Amen. That rich man in Luke 16, he's been there 1,990 years and he's still burning, he's still weeping, he's still wailing, he's still gnashing his teeth. Amen. Let's look at Luke 16 real quick. I want to show you something about that man in Luke 16. Amen. It's not a parable. I like what Buddy Blunkall said one day. Jehovah's Witness told him, he said, well, it's a parable. He said, well, if it's a parable, what's it trying to tell you? It's trying to tell you don't go to hell. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice on Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in what? Torments. Amen. As soon as he died, he's in hell. Amen. And he's burning. It ain't what all these other people say, like Billy Graham and all them. It's just separation from God. If you're lost, you're already separated from God. And you're heading to hell like a bullet. And the devil's doing everything he can to damn you and get you to hell. Amen. Give you every reason why you should deny Jesus Christ. Amen. And not believe what the men of God are saying. He wants you in hell. One thing these people are sitting back missing about this COVID and all this vaccine and all these deaths that's happening is those people that are dying from that shot, those people that are dying from that bioweapon that's released on these people, they are dying and going to hell. Yeah. Amen. The devil wants you in hell. He don't care if it's a liquor bottle. He don't care if it's a church pew. He don't care if it's a heroin needle. Amen. He don't care if you go to hell from a preacher's home. He don't care. He just wants to get you there real quick.
Amen.
But notice what it says. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Did you ever think about that? Why just one drop of water? Why would he just want one drop of water? Amen. You want to know why? I was praying about that thing and the Holy Spirit revealed to me. All that man ever lived for was the moment. He couldn't think past the nose on his face. He lived for right now. And all he knows is right now, I need satisfied right now. That's all he
I need a bucket. I need a lake. Amen. I need a fire hose. All he could think of is I need one drop, because all he ever lived for was the moment.
Come on.
Amen. You know what Esau's problem was? Esau and Jacob? He said, I'm faint. What good's my birthright do me now? I need something to eat right now. Esau lived for the moment. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to think you're going to miss out on something tomorrow and or something this afternoon, amen, and you're going to have to sell out your young Christian life, and you're going to have to turn around and come to Jesus Christ, and you're going to miss fun, you're going to miss growing up, you're going to miss everything that Brother Church talked about last night.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The devil lies to you, thinks you're going to miss out on something. Listen, I'm missing out on a whole lot. I'm missing out weeping, and I'm missing out on wailing. I'm missing out on gnashing my teeth. Amen. I'm missing out on being bound hand and foot, casting it out of darkness for all eternity. I'm missing out on blaspheming God and screaming forever and ever. Amen. Gnashing my tongue. Amen. I'm missing out on a lot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This rich man got a revelation when he was in hell. Notice what it says in verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went on them from the dead, they will what?
Repent.
You know, there's all kinds of King James Bible preachers now preaching against repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Listen, Judas repented of himself. He had worldly sorrow, but he never repented toward God.
Right.
Paul said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble, but they'll never repent of what they are. Amen. Listen, it's a combination, repentance toward God. You know what repentance is? God, you're right, I'm wrong. Amen. You know what the hard part for you to admit? You know, we heard this morning what the hard part was? I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm as bad as you say I am, God.
Yeah.
Listen, hey, let's turn to Numbers 11. I don't know why I want to get on this, but turn to Numbers 11. Numbers chapter 11. I'm sorry, Numbers 11. There's Moses there. These people want flesh to eat. They want something to eat. Amen? Amen. They come out of Egypt. They want something. Amen. More than what they got right now. They're undesirable. They're unsatiable. But notice verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Moses, a man of God, is begging God to kill him. Ain't that amazing? Look what it says. I pray thee out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my
wretchedness.
See, that's the whole thing about preaching. Amen. You know what the Word of God does, and what we've been hearing testimonies about is God will reveal to you your wretchedness.
Right.
You know, Moses didn't want to see. Didn't want to see his wretchedness.
Right.
Amen. You know, these young preacher boys, amen, these young kids growing up in these homes didn't want to see that they're as bad as everybody else is in this thing. Amen. Hey, you know what Job's problem was? He was self-righteous. Job didn't want to see that. After God spends two chapters talking to Job, Job hits his face and he said, behold, I'm vile.
That's right.
Amen. God said, I ain't done with you. Stand up. And God talked to him two more chapters.
Yeah.
Amen. When God gets done with him in Job 42, Job sits back and said, I abhor myself. Amen. That's where you're getting somewhere with God.
Amen.
Job was perfect, upright, and shoot evil. Job was a good man, but he had something deep down in his heart that God had to manifest, and God had to show him, amen, knock him off his high horse, get him on the ground, amen, get his face in the dirt and realize, hey, I am unrighteous. Job didn't want to see who he really was. Moses didn't want to see who he was. Our problem is we really don't want to see who we are. But when we take God's side against ourselves, listen, victory's on the way. Amen.
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 Hell's no joke. Hell's not a cuss word. Hell's a cursed place. Hell's just not a figure of speech. Amen. It's not a figment of some man's imagination. Hell is real, just as real as you and I. People believe in hell. They talk about hell. They say it's hotter than hell. Amen. You don't stand a snowball's chance in hell. People in hell want ice water. Who the hell do you think you are? Amen. They say all that kind of stuff, but then they want to deny that they're going there. They really don't think they're bad enough to go there, but they'll sit back and tell you. Listen, the most hateful thing somebody could ever tell you is say, oh, go jump in a lake. You know what they're referring to? They're referring to Revelation 21:8. Go to jump in the lake of fire. They want you to burn for all eternity. The utmost hatred and contempt you can have for anybody is the wishing to go to hell. Amen. And when you can see the venom coming out of their mouth and eyes, amen, and they're spewing out their hatred toward you, say, oh, go to hell. Go to hell. Well, listen, Jesus don't want you to go.
It's an awful place.
Amen. Let me show you something. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Brother Taylor, I was reading my Bible, amen. And I come across this. I believe in the omniscience of God, all-knowing. I believe in the omnipotent God, all-powerful. I believe in the omnipresent God. He's everywhere at the same time. But I got to seeing something that the all-knowing God didn't know. Isn't that amazing? Let's see what it was. Let's look in verse 33. And they turned to me, unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name and defiled it. He's talking about Manasseh putting a carved image in there. Amen. And they built high places of Baal and are in the valley of the son of Hinnom and caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire on the Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind.
Yeah.
And all knowing God said there's no way that a man or woman would take one of these precious little children, a baby, when you see that little thing who's created in the image of man and God, amen, and walk over to a burning fire and drop that baby into that fire and watch it die. He said, there's no way. The most horrible thing you could do would take a baby and put it in a fire. And surely no mama would do it. Surely no daddy would do that, would burn a baby. He said, never came into my mind. You know what them Jews were doing? They were dropping them babies in that fire. Offering them on the Molech, a false god.
Right.
You know what God believes? God created hell for who? The devil and his angels, right? He said he created a pit that was designed for the devil, burning with fire and brimstone, amen, where people will spend eternity. And he said, there's no way a man would reject my darling son, the Lamb of God, and choose hell over me. You know what men are doing today? They're saying, oh man, I can't wait to get to hell and party. Hell's afraid I'm going to take over. Amen, heaven doesn't want me. Amen, listen, they're mocking, saying I'm going to go to hell and party with all my friends. No, you ain't, amen. Gonna burn and weep and gnash your teeth for eternity.
That's right.
Amen. The devil's got people laughing and mocking and celebrating, saying we're going to hell. I used to have a magnet on my car that said the party in hell's been canceled due to the fire. I had people literally stopping on slowing down beside me, come by filming my car. Amen. They think it's a joke. It ain't no joke. We're trying to warn them. We want to put the fire out in your life. We don't want you to go to hell. The worst place you could ever go to hell from is a church pew and a Bible-believing church. Amen. And even worse than that is to be a child in the family of a preacher that loves you and go to hell over your mama's prayers, your daddy's prayers. Amen. And the church's prayers. Amen. That's the worst place on earth to go to hell from. Better off being in India where Brother Pratt was, being in a Hindu home or a Muslim home and going to hell than from a youth camp at Black Creek. God doesn't want you in hell. He sent his son in the flesh to die for you. He was beaten beyond recognition, stripped completely naked, nailed to a tree, nailed to a tree, fully exposed before the whole world, beaten beyond recognition. His vision was marred more than any man. Bore the curse of the world, amen, with a crown of thorns on his head. He was
bruised for our iniquities. Amen. He was whipped and chastened for our sins. Amen. He don't want you to go. He took your sin. He took your place. He died on your spot. If you go to hell, you got to go to hell over the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the darling Lamb of God that loved you enough to take your wrath upon you. Amen. Amen. Well, here's a few things about hell. The Bible said in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The problem is, these young men, I don't know, brother, is it Steve that was testifying this morning? Admitting he was wicked? Amen. I'm wicked. Amen. That's a bitter pill.
Sure it is.
Amen. What's one of my favorite verses now is where God tells Jacob over there, thou worm, Jacob.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great day when you see what you really are in the eyes of God. Amen. Listen, you ain't going to call me nothing. I ain't ever called myself and I ain't ever confessed to him. You ain't going to offend me by calling me names. I already know what I am. I agree with you. Shake your head. Hallelujah. How long did it take you to figure that out?
Amen.
Amen. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. Hell and destruction are never full. You say, what's that mean? Habakkuk 2:5 said, hell has, enlarges its desire and is death, which cannot be satisfied. Hell is never satisfied. Listen, I can go to a website. It's called Dial of Truth Ministries. You click on there. As soon as you click on there, it's got a meter about how long you're on that thing, how many people are dying while you're sitting there reading that website. And it's two every second, man. It just keeps racking up. You're there 1 minute, you got 120 souls, boom, in hell. People are dying left and right.
Yeah.
Amen. I pastored up on Highway 75 in Dayton, Ohio. People are dying on that highway every day. Every day somebody's slipping off into eternity. Amen. You never know when you're going to die. Yeah. Amen. I know a little church down in Kentucky, two 18-year-olds died. One was saved and probably one was lost. Amen. You say, what happened? Both of them lied. One lad told his mom, he said, Mom, I'm going to a dairy bar. He's going to go see my girlfriend. He lied. He was taking out his Ford Mustang. He was going to go race a Z28. That's why he was going out there. He was driving. He was racing out there, and that car bumped him. When he bumped him, he hit a bridge and killed him instantly. You know what he had in the back windshield of his car? The heartbeat stops here. His heartbeat stops right there. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I rode with his daddy in that car, and his daddy said, I should have never bought that for him. Amen. He entered into eternity at 120 mile an hour, hitting a concrete bridge. Amen. He was a Christian young man. You know what I believe? I believe God was calling him to preach. We were at a camp meeting. That was in October. November, he's dead. He didn't surrender to the camp meeting. I had a preacher friend come by and said, pray. I'm praying that young man get called to the ministry. He said, I believe God's dealing with him. He said, no. God killed him. You want to know what happened? Down there in Buckhorn, Kentucky, they got a log cathedral. You been down there? You seen that log cathedral? That place was packed. Over 1,000 people in there. They shut the coal mine down. They never shut the coal mine down. They shut the coal mine down. Then coal miners came in there and they lined the walls. They had people in there 24 hours a day. Amen. For several days. That's how they mourn down there. You just don't come for a viewing for 2 hours. I mean, it's all night long. People are there. And they closed down 3 floors. And as people out of them hollers were coming out of the hollers everywhere, you can't just walk up and down them hollers and go back up into the places and go tell about Christ. You get shot.
Yeah.
But those people came out of the hollers to come see where that young man was. Amen. And Brother Simi Ray is going down there with these young men, taking them down to the casket and said, that's where Bo used to live. Bo don't live there anymore. Bo's with Jesus. Are you going to be with Jesus? Are you saved?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The grace of God was all over his mom and dad. Amen.
That's right.
But you know what happened? That young man refused to call a preach. And guess what? His daddy surrendered to the call of preach. And now his daddy's pastoring the church that he might have pastored.
Amen.
And now that man's got a youth camp down there trying to win a bunch of youth down there to Christ.
Yeah.
God used his, amen, daddy more than he would have. Amen. He said, all right, Bo, you don't want to preach? Amen. Then I'll take you home and I'll use your daddy.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
God took old Kentucky Tom, Tom Combs.
Yes, sir.
And let him preach to over 1,000 people and reach people that he spent years down there trying to reach them people in them hollers. But he used that death of that 18-year-old boy.
Right.
2 years later, I'm sitting in that church, and up comes flying a truck into there. And Simi Ray goes outside, and Billy Dean goes outside, and I see Billy Dean fall in a truck like this. And his 18-year-old son died. He told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, I'll be at church this morning." And when he pulled out, instead of going left to church, he decided to go right. He lied to mom and daddy. Within 5 minutes, he's under a coal truck. A coal truck hit him, went over top of his car. It took him hours to be able to get that coal truck off that car. They couldn't get him out of there. They had to load it up on a flatbed, and they had to take him in a flatbed. And they had to wind up taking him and taking him to a garage and extricate him. And it took him hours upon hours upon hours to get his body out of it. You just never know when you're going to die.
Amen.
Never know.
Right.
Never know where you're going to meet the Maker. Amen. Yeah. Listen, I've been out to cemeteries with caskets that big.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Right. Look like a little white cooler, and you walk in. You never know when you're going to die. Right. Children are dying left and right. There's kids dying of cancer right now, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Right. You don't know when you're going to slip off into eternity. Amen. There's people being shot. There's people falling. There's people getting hurt. Amen. There's people getting diseases, cancer. I mean, you just never know when you're going to die. You think you're going to live? Hey, you got no guarantee.
Right.
You sure, 100% sure you're going to be in heaven? You're going to be in hell. The Bible talks. Let's look at this. Let's look in Proverbs. My wife and I were discussing this on the way up. Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verse 1. My son, attend to my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Thou mayest regard discretion, thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell.
Right.
You know how many pretty little girls are damning men's soul to hell?
Yeah.
A bunch of young men turn around and look at this pretty little girl. You don't know. She may be Jezebel.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of beautiful women damning men's souls to hell.
Yep.
Amen. I had two strippers come to my church one day. One was looking for a handout, and they come walking to my church. My wife's with me. Amen. And they're trying to get some help. And the girl walks in and sees the missions board. She goes, She said, "I want to be a missionary." I said, "You want to be a missionary?" She said, "What's it take to be a missionary?" I said, "You're dancing on tables and damning men's souls to hell, causing men to commit adultery. You know how many lives you're ruining, how many women are angry at you right now while you're dancing on a table, stripping and ruining their husbands' lives and sending them to hell, and you're worried about sending souls to heaven while you're damning men to hell?" The other one just wanted a handout. She didn't want it. She went through a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, fake repentance, cried crocodile tears, but she didn't mean it.
Yeah.
She just went through the motions because she wanted money.
Yeah, all right.
Amen. You with me?
Yeah.
And she was telling me she was from a Baptist church. And she got out. And she said, "What do I do?" I said, "Go back to Grandpa and say, I've sinned and I've done wrong.
Amen, yeah.
And I want to get right. I want to get right with that church."
Yeah.
And I said, "Go get right with him. Go back and do some serious repentance." And I said, "Maybe after you're in church after about 10 years, maybe consider being a missionary after you get right with God."
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Where was she? She was a church girl at one time, and then she's stripping on tables.
That's right.
Look at this. Look at verse 12. And I say, "How I've hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof." Brother McVeigh's been sitting there being pretty rough and then apologizing sometimes a little bit for being rough and then sometimes not apologizing for it, because we got to talk plain and say, "Hey, you need to get right. You ain't right with God."
Yeah.
And people get offended when you're reproved. You know what that does? That proves your heart.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, brother.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
Look at what it says. "And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me. Exclamation point.
That's right.
He's crying out, I have not obeyed them that instructed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to live a life full of regret? Walk away from here and not giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. It's not all this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It's not you saying, Jesus, come into my life. It's you giving Him your heart.
Yes.
Proverbs 23 says, son, give me thine heart. God wants your heart.
Yep.
The reason why you don't want to give your heart up is because you want to be in control. Yeah. You don't want to turn over the reins of your heart to Him and offer Him full control.
Yes, sir.
If you stay driving that car, you'll be in the ditch and you'll be dead.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Give your heart, not your head.
Look at what it says, verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I don't know who's here. What are you into?
That's right.
What are you doing behind your parents' back?
Yeah.
Huh?
Right. Yes, sir.
What are you talking about when you're behind your mama's back?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I got sin young.
Right. That's right.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
You looking at some dirty pictures on the phone?
Right.
Looking at things you shouldn't be doing, listening to the wrong music.
John.
Listen, I got a preacher's friend, amen. I ain't gonna call names, but I got a preacher's friend that he found his daughter had a cassette tape and it supposedly had preaching on it. Started listening to it a little bit, next thing you know, it's got all the satanic rock and roll on it. See, and put the little preaching on there to kind of throw the mom and daddy off a little bit. And then they hid the rock and roll.
Wet.
Well, daddy goes out to destroy that. You with me? He goes out to burn that and get rid of it, and he sent her to a room and said, I'm going to take care of that. You know what that girl did? She jumped out the bedroom window. Now listen to this real close. She escaped. Got out of her daddy's sight. Hello? You with me? She wound up going to a supposed Christian woman's home. Because she was in love with her son. You know what that woman did? She hit her.
They did.
Hit her from her daddy,
yep.
The preacher man. Said, I don't know where she's at. And knew the whole time she knew exactly where she's at.
Yeah, right. They're out there.
Guess what they got now? They got a bastard baby.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know one of the biggest scourges in the land of our country is all these single mothers.
Yeah, right.
Unwed mothers right. In our churches. I heard Phil Kidd preach on that, man. I'm telling you, what a message. About all our churches. How are all these girls becoming unwed mothers?
Come on.
Who's these losers that's calling you in to giving up your purity that we got a book written about here?
Right.
And you're going to get some dude that's wet behind the ears and can't even hold down a job and work 40 hours a week and he's going to pay your bills and raise a kid and then you're going to be wanting child support?
Come on.
Living with mom and daddy? Yeah. Did you ever read that Bible over there? There's five living in the house. A mother, a father, a son, a daughter, and a daughter-in-law. What's a daughter-in-law doing in the house? Ain't a man supposed to leave his father and mother and join his wife? Hey, man, what's he doing? Hey, man, not leaving the home and staying at home and having mom and daddy paying the bills. Because some girl thought some dude was cute because he had a couple little pimples for biceps. Hey, man, he was a little twerk boy behind the ears. Hey, man, couldn't pay his own bills, can't buy his own insurance, can't afford to put gas in his car. But yet you want to jump in the back seat and go for a ride.
Right.
They produce a little baby that nobody wants kicked to the curb.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a scourge on our churches.
Yes,
can I tell you a bigger scourge? You ready?
Yeah.
Got your seatbelts buckled?
Go ahead.
We've got a bunch of pure girls in our churches. Mm-hmm. They finally get married.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
But the women of the church make over that baby of that unwed mother. And they dote on that baby over that one more unwed mother more than they dote on the baby of the girl that kept herself pure.
Well, that's right.
Come on, brother. And they go out of the way to make that girl feel comfortable in church and try to ease the guilt of her sin.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Sir, brother.
You're right, preacher.
And they kind of throw the pure girls off to the
right.
Side.
Yeah.
Preach that, brother.
I believe in restoration. I believe in forgiveness.
Yeah.
But the one that really needs doted on is the one that kept herself pure and clean, and that young man kept himself pure and clean.
Yeah.
They need to have the big bachelor party. Yeah. Amen. You need to buy him the tools and get him established. Buy her the wares for her house, the blender, the mixer, and do all that. Instead of going out of your way and trying to feel so sorry for a girl that didn't want to listen to the preaching, did not listen to the word of God, decided to play the whore, amen, in the church, amen, and got nailed.
Right.
It's about time somebody said something about that.
Yeah.
Instead of pretending it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's purity.
Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 7 talks about her way is the way to hell. Proverbs 9 talks about the depths of hell. Psalms 18:5 talks about the sorrows of hell. Psalm 116:3 talks about the pains of hell. Luke 16 talks about the torments of hell. Amen. James talks about the fire of hell. Jesus talked about the danger of hell fire, an unquenchable fire, and fire not quenched, and a furnace of fire, and a lake of fire. Matthew 25 talks about everlasting fire, devouring fire, and everlasting burning, and everlasting punishments, and everlasting destruction, and everlasting chains, and everlasting damnation, and everlasting contempt. And he said it'll destroy both body and soul in hell. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, nor obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what people got to do? That you know what it means to believe the Bible, a gospel? It means to obey the gospel. You've obeyed from the heart that form of godliness to deliver on, the doctrine that's delivered on you. Amen. You want to know proof there's been genuine repentance, genuine faith? Because then there's an obedience to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 When you obey the gospel, you'll begin a brand new life of obedience to God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, that's works. No, it ain't works. Listen, last night, Brother Church was talking, and I told Brother Taylor, as he's going through what he was saying, he got right. He got saved. He gave Christ his heart.
Yeah.
Right? Then he started removing all that junk out of his house.
Yeah.
You know what a bunch of preachers believe? You got to throw all the junk out. They think that's repentance. No, that's the fruit of repentance.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he got rid of his bongs and his booze and his dope, that was fruit of repentance.
Yes.
Preachers don't understand the fruit. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit. If you genuinely repented, let's see the fruit.
Yes, sir.
Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter
1. Running well, brother.
Amen. You know what we need to see? We need to see some evidence.
Right.
We're looking for evidence.
Yes, right.
Somebody said, well, you ought not be a fruit inspector. Well, you ought to have genuine repentance.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Right. Colossians chapter 1. Young man was talking this morning about believing every word, looking at every word, seeing what it says, right? Amen. I had fun teaching through the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Maybe I'll get there one of these days. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 5. And the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye've heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit. Isn't that a blessing? As it doth also wear in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Amen. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for fruit. Amen. You can't tell me some guy comes down and prays a prayer, lives like hell for 40-some years, hops every whore in the neighborhood, big old drunk, fist fighting all the time, throwing him out of jail, and then we're going to bury that rascal and put him in the ground because he got in a car wreck and say, well, he prayed a prayer when he was a kid, and you never seen an ounce of evidence of God in his life. Amen. Don't put him in the heaven. I'm tired of going to funerals of lost people going to heaven.
What you got?
When's the last time you've been to a genuine funeral where you knew that guy was lost and he's in hell? Amen.
Right. So
they all wish him into heaven.
That's right.
Everyone I go to, he's in heaven. Why? Well, he said a prayer. No evidence in his life of God.
That's right. Yep.
Let me read his Bible. Let me see where he marked up in his Bible.
Yeah.
Where's the witness? Where's the evidence of God?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Look in Isaiah. When I went to jail, not as an inmate, but as a chaplain, I went there quite often with Brother Taylor. Amen. We'd go in as chaplains together and preach. Amen. And I tell them inmates, I said, you want to know one thing this world hates about you? And man, your eyes get real big. I said, jailhouse religion.
That's right.
I said, we're sick of it.
That's right.
I said, what's jailhouse religion? You're just trying to fake it so you can get out, amen, and get lesser charges, amen, and get less time.
That's right.
You're just jumping through a bunch of hoops. So when I was in evangelism, I'd preach on church house profession versus jailhouse religion. There ain't no difference. Isaiah 5, verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. You see that? What's therefore? Therefore. Well, we got to go up in the previous verse and look and see what it's talking about. Well, verse 13. Therefore. Well, we got to jump up again. Verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. Amen. And continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the vial and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. People can care less what's going on here this week. They can care less what's going on with missions. They can care less about Bible-believing Christianity. He said, why? They just want to party. They just want to have a good time. They want to get drunk. They want to get high. They want to smoke their dope. Amen. They just want to get their mind and try to cover the guilt that they got. They don't want to face reality. And when you get under old time preaching, God makes you come in contact with him and look yourself in the mirror and see what you really are.
Amen.
They don't want to regard the work of God. They don't want to consider the operation of his hands. They don't want to think about God, the wicked. God is not in all his thoughts. Therefore, look at it. My people are gone where? That's why we're having a meeting. Listen, what's binding you? What's chaining you down? What's holding you back? What are you getting into that you can't let go now?
Okay.
Right? Hello? What's got you?
Right.
Amen. He'll get a hold of it. You ain't gonna let it go. Because he gets a hold of you. The wicked's holding by the cords of iniquity. My people are in captivity, he said. Right? Look at it. Look at it. He said, therefore my people are gone in captivity because they have what? Do you know how many dum-dums we have in Christianity today? Amen?
Yeah.
They don't believe God's book?
Right.
Hey, you know why we're having all the homosexual, gay, pride, LGB, alphabet people running around and all this transvestism and all this stuff? You know why? Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They change the truth of God into a lie. So they keep putting out new Bibles. All these corrupt Bibles. All these Bible colleges are putting out infidels. They're correcting the Word of God. So God just keeps increasing the perverts. Men running around in Victoria's Secrets, prancing around in the nude, and all these women underwear on the street corners. And the perversion's everywhere. It's in your face. It's in your schools. Amen. They're marching on the streets. Watch your children.
Right.
Please.
And you think revival's going to come to America through these Bible colleges and keep correcting God's book and keep changing God's word? God said, I'll give him up. I gave him up to a reprobate mind. I give him over to do that which is not convenient. God sold them out because they sold out the word of God. No knowledge. Let's go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. You ever read all your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Preachers are real famous for preaching on a portion of a verse but not finishing the verse.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And sometimes what they leave out is more powerful than what they quoted. Right? Look at verse 6, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for what? And that's they hammer that. Amen. I agree with that. Amen. Right? Look at the rest of it. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also what? Reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget who? Huh? Forget who? Forget your children? That scares me. That scares me. You know what scares me more than anything, Brother McVeigh? That I got two children. I got one in heaven, that's a third. That they would cry my name out for all eternity. I can't bear hearing my little girl going, Daddy! 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 Couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. My son did that. When we knelt beside our bed, I said, God, I ask you to bless our union. And if any of our children die and go to hell, it's better there never more. Proverbs 23. I can't bear the thought of my kids screaming my name out for eternity. Me being a Baptist preacher, evangelizing as much as I could, and now trying to pastor, and neglect my kids and neglect that book and get to the place where they go to hell. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not what?
Die.
Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from?
Hell.
What's it say?
Hell.
That's my only promise I got, the word of God, that my child gets saved. You show me one you got to keep my head.
Come on.
That's it. God placed responsibility on me to go cut a switch. And I used a rose of cherry. We had a bunch of rose of cherry bushes. Those switches don't break up. And I'd scrape the nubs off of them with my knife. Amen. And I'd institute some instruction and correction on the bullseye that God gave them, not all the way up and down the body and the back and everything. They got a little target. Amen. And I'd bend them over. We'd do some correction. Amen. Right? We'd show them where they did wrong. I'd make them look at me in my God-given eyeball.
Yes.
Amen. I'd make them confess their sin. Amen. Then I'd instrument judgment, right?
Yeah.
And then I turn around and then restore.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And then I'd make them, if they offended each other, to go get right with each other. If it was against mama, go apologize to mama. Amen. If they offended anybody in the church, whatever, they go deal with that brother and get it right. Learn how to confess your sin. Learn how to mortify the flesh and get right with people. But you know, it seemed like I was just going through the motions the other morning. And I bowed my head and I said, God, if you don't breathe life into this thing, I'm doing what you said, and somehow you got to send heaven and put a charge in this stick, amen, and apply it to the seed of understanding and touch their heart and waken up their conscience and help them get up to bring them alive. I'm doing what you said. By faith, God, breathe life into this.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
It's not just punishment.
Right.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
I preached a revival up in Wisconsin, and I pulled a switch out of my briefcase, and I said, you want revival? You want revival in your home?
Pull the switch.
You want revival in the church?
You know what the government did? They attacked corporal correction. They took paddling out of schools. They want to criminalize you if you want to hit your sick kid with a switch. You know what people say? They call it spanking. You know what spanking is? It's a slap with an open hand. Don't slap your kids with your hand. Use a rock.
Yes.
Your hands for love. Your hands for affection. Your kid ought never, when you reach your hand towards them, stuck.
That's right. Yeah, listen.
Come on, brothers.
Right. Amen. Your hands for love and affection. Amen. Right? That rod of judgment ought to hang over their head.
Yes, sir.
And my son, you can say what you want to say. I don't care. You.
I know me.
He's 4.5 years old and called me up on the phone. My wife goes, you need to talk to your son. I said, oh, no. He done broke my computer. He done something. And I got on the phone. He said, Dad, I'm going to hell. And I went home and I went upstairs. And God said, go to his bedroom. And I decided to go into my bedroom. And I knelt down. I said, son, what do you want? He said, I need to get saved. I'm going to hell. I said, then ask the Lord. Go ahead. So he calls upon the Lord, does all that. He gets up and says, Dad, how do you know you're saved? I go, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this young kid. I don't want to give him a false assurance. I don't want to give him a false profession. I don't know what to do. And I said, son, God will deal with you. You'll know.
Yes, sir.
And I get up and I start to leave, and the Holy Ghost says, go in his bedroom. See, my bedroom was always the one used for execution. Amen.
Yeah.
We went to his bedroom, he knelt down, he said, Dad, what do I do? I said, what do you think? He said, I want to get saved. I said, then ask. So he asked God to save him. And then he goes, Dad, what else do you think? And I said, well, what do you think?
Yeah.
He said, Dad, I need a clean heart.
Yeah.
How in the world can a 4.5-year-old kid know he's got an
unholy
ghost?
Yeah.
And he asked God to save him and clean his filthy little heart. He got up off his feet, man. He shot out of there. He ran down the steps and went to mom and told her he just got saved. We're riding in the car to church that night. And he goes, Dad? I said, yeah. He goes, there's three of us saved in the car now, right? He goes, you're saved. Mom's saved. He said, now I'm saved.
Yeah.
And he goes, Sissy ain't saved. She needs to get saved, don't she? She's going to heaven. And for months, he preached his sister into heaven. He would have church, call her up and play the piano. He'd preach on hell, trying to get his sister saved. That night we went to church and went to Brother Love. He said, Brother Love, I'm going to tell you something. He come running down the aisle. He spun around. He goes, I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. Took off back to his seat.
Oh my goodness.
You know what he's had, brother? He's had light. At that young, people say, you can't have it. He had it.
Yeah.
We're riding in the car one day, and he goes, Dad? I said, yeah. He said, you know that song over there that said, never more to Rome? I said, yeah. He says, when you get saved, you won't go back to Rome, will you? Where'd that little 5-year-old come up with that? Amen. He said, I don't know if he's in. How many 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24-year-olds, you know, walk around listening to preachers, listening to Phil Kidd, and listening to a bunch of others all the time, singing songs and loving Jesus Christ. It had to take. I ain't forcing it on them. I ain't telling them he's saved. You know what I told both of my children? I said, if you're ever in a meeting like this, and the Holy Ghost comes and tells you you're not saved, I said, you hit that altar, you get that thing right, you ain't going to embarrass your mom, and you ain't going to embarrass your dad.
That's right.
I want you to know in your heart that you're born again.
Yes.
I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because you're the one that's got to lay your head on the pillow at night. You're the one that's got to have that peace and pass of all understanding. Amen. You got to know deep down inside
Amen. Brother McVeigh can't give you that peace. I can't give you that peace. Brother Asquith can't give you that peace. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the faith of righteousness quietness and assurance. Who's going to hell? The wicked. All nations forget God, the quick. That means those that are alive, they went down in hell alive, Psalm 55. Strange women, strong men, the simple who are adulterers, fools, souls of uncorrected children, unreasonable, right? The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, right? The people who won't come is unreasonable. They'll be in hell, right? The chief ones, Lucifer, hypocrites, stargazers, sinners, monthly procrastinators, men who transgress, soul that sinneth and shall die, the mighty, those who offend, those who fear not God, the religious proselytes, serpents, generation of vipers, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, many who call on him Lord, Lord, many prophesiers, devil caster outers, miracle workers in his name, wonderful workers, amen, religious people, false brethren, false apostles, deceitful workers, false prophets, false teachers, false ministers of righteousness, false Christ, false workers of iniquity, blasphemers of the Holy Ghost, those who are trying to gain the whole world, they'll lose their soul, amen, their worm, amen, he that believeth not shall be damned, amen, those who die in their sins, children of the devil, children of wrath, children of disobedience, twofold the children of hell, thieves, robbers, those who are not in the vine, people who try to buy their way into heaven, rich men, wolves, those in darkness, those under the power of the devil, those who are unforgiven, those who are unrepentant, those who are unbelievers, men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, men who change the word of God into a lie, the glory of God changes into corruptible men and worship the creature more than the creator, those who do not want to retain God in their knowledge, backbiters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, amen, effeminate, amen, enemies of God, vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, those who don't call upon the name of the Lord, those who don't obey the gospel, the unrighteous, the fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, railers, those who miss the rapture, amen. The lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, sinners, unholy, profane, murderers of mothers, murderers of fathers, manslayers, whoremongers, defilers of them with mankind, men steals, perjured persons, neglectors of salvation, fallen angels, Satan and his false prophet and the beast, amen, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars.
Right.
Those who take the mark of the beast, those who worship his image, those whose names are not written in the book of life, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins and neighbors, co-workers, employees, bosses, doctors, dentists, politicians, judges, lawyers, carpenters, block layers, truck drivers, warehouse workers, salesmen, waitress, waiters, actors, actresses, tailors, shoe clerks, baggers, beggars, politicians, Republicans, Democrats, communists, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopals, JWs, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Pentecostal, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, grandmas, grandpas, taxpayers, tax collectors, social workers, good people, bad people, nice people, friendly people, preachers, teachers, deacons, popes, nuns, monks, priests, the name of people from every walk of life, that every soul never come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. Amen. The blood-bought gospel. Bible says there be few that find it. No rest, no hope, no peace, no love, no joy, no fun, no second chance. No way out once you're there. No happiness, no parties, no pleasure, no comfort, no fellowship, no blessing, no good, no mercy. Just smoke and screams and suffering and sorrows and stains and scorching and singleness. That means you're all alone. Hell is dying forever, never been able to die. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, screams throughout eternity, just pain and anguish and misery and wrath and filth. It's forever and all over. Jonathan Edwards said, the unconverted walk over in the pit of hell on a rotten covering. There's not one thing that keeps the wicked men out of hell but the mere pleasure of God. The pit is prepared, the fire is made ready, the furnace is now hot. Ready to receive them, the flames do now rage and glow. There's a dreadful pit of glowing flames of the wrath of God. This is hell's wide, gaping mouth open to receive you, and you have nothing to stand upon or anything to take hold of. There's nothing between you and hell but air. Not only the power and mere pleasure of God holds you up. Oh, sinner, consider the fearful danger you're in and the great furnace of wrath and wide, bottomless pit full of fire and the wrath of God. A preacher once wrote, you cannot stop their dying.
but you might help their stop to being damned. You cannot stop their breath from going out of their bodies. But oh, if the gospel could stop the soul from going down to destruction. If sinners will be damned, at least let them jump over our bodies. If they will perish, let it be in the teeth of our exertions. But let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. If you will be damned, let me have this one thing as a consolation for your misery. That you're not damned for the lack of calling after. That you're not lost after lack of weeping after. That you're not lost after the lack of praying after. Father, we love you. I plead the blood for those that are here that's not sure they're saved and don't know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in their heart and their life and you genuinely converted them and your spirit rests in their chest. Father, we just plead the blood for those ones that Brother McVeigh was talking about last night who were indifferent, looking around, not concerned. I pray you make them concerned now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.